Hi, I'm best-selling author and psychic witch, Angela Lovell, and today we're talking about healing with Amy Spicer. Welcome to Dear Witchy Poo. Dear Witchy Poo, I started taking my healing journey pretty seriously about 2 years ago, and it's only gotten harder, not better. I'm staying the course, though, and would really appreciate any advice, especially on how to speed this up. Thanks for your help, Rebecca. Amy, I saved this letter for you because, as I just told you before we were recording, you are my most favorite healer that I've ever worked with. You did speed up a lot of healing for me personally, and you slowed something very important down and told me I needed to sit with it longer, and you were absolutely right, and I got the best message and lesson out of it. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My whole heart is exploding right now. I have visceral sensitivity across my whole chest.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, Angela, thank you. Seriously. You have no idea how big of a compliment that is coming from you. You have no, it just has held so much weight.
I've worked with a lot of people and I love them and they were all helpful. I have great experiences, but with you, it's so funny because one of the things that whenever I tell people like you need to get her to work on you, the thing that I always remember is you saying like, okay, you're gonna be tired, you're gonna need to like process, blah blah. And I was like, oh, I'm fine, I do this all the time. And I was bedridden for 2 days after you worked on me. I mean. I was like, okay, surrender. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, you had a lot of stuff happening in there.
Yeah, a lot. And it's funny because there was a person who had hurt me, and you said the smartest thing. You said, we're really good friends because you were like, if I cut this cord, the 2.0 version of him shows up. And you have to relearn it from the beginning. And I'd never heard anything like that. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah, if we don't sit long enough with the lesson, you know, until we absorb and process it. Of course, that's why so many of the people, like I give readings to, and I'm sure you see this over and over, like they repeat the lesson because they're not taking it on. And I feel like that's even a great place to start with this letter. Like, I also think, and we just said this before we started recording, but the healing journey, the intuitive journey, like it's a lifelong process. You know, I don't know that you can speed it up aside from just like finding a powerful healer. I mean, like it feels like it's the easy answer.
Her name was Rebecca. And the second word you got out of her letter, my team came flying in and they were like, they literally said, and I will summarize as succinctly as possible. It's a cliche. We all know you cannot rush evolution. Here's her example. They're like, when you are on a healing journey, you are birthing a new formation of you. If you rush the development of a human in an embryo, they come out malformationed and have short lifespans. They die prematurely. They are biochemically built incorrectly. When you build a new human, you have to give it the time it takes to fully be built, or it will have a massive flaw and terminate too quickly. And that is literally, if you think about it, you know how when we read a book and we'll philosophically, we'll get the information and it will make sense. And we'll be like, oh my God, I feel amazing. This makes so much sense. 3 weeks later, we forget it. And we're like, we need a new fucking book or whatever. The exact same thing is happening for Rebecca. I know you want to speed it up because so like life is fun again. And also, awakening can be painful, but it's also like so cool, right? If there is any force behind that, like any rush, a malformation in her base code that is literally, because if you're a vibration, if your base code is being laid improperly, you will have a genetic flaw in as a healer. Your gift won't be as strong. Your gifts won't be as strong. There's literally going to be a malformation.
Wow.
They said, so
That makes so much sense. It's funny because when I knew I was talking to you today, the word I kept thinking was reprogrammed. And after I worked with you, and that's kind of what you did for me. Like you healed so much stuff. And we focused, well, this was the thing too. Like as soon as I started talking to you, you were like, what's this creepy entity with long dark hair looks like someone from The Ring? And I was like, oh, that's my family curse. Yeah, she's
like, she remember her.
Yeah, yes. And I couldn't believe you saw her and you were like, because she's not in me anymore. I don't have, my family is prone to hysterics because of her. And I accidentally journeyed and saw she lost a child during the plague. Really, her heart is so broken. But then, I mean, she's a very dark entity now. She's like not, like she started human and I did something so dark and different. But even when I'm triggered, the way that she used to come out of me, like, I almost can't even remember. It's so foreign. But you saw her very clearly. You saw her spying on me and you told me like who she's still connected to. And it was, I mean, the fact that you could see her right away. I have been to so many people like us my whole life. I've been around people like us. Nobody ever saw her except for you.
Oh, no,
yeah.
You saw her
right away. You were just like, what the fuck is this?
And it's very specific. How entities usually hang on people is I saw her, but when I work on people, I take on your perception of reality. So I see her in your perception. That doesn't necessarily mean that is what she is, but I see reality through your perception. And she was very clearly there.
Yeah, she was in my nightmares like my whole life.
Oh my gosh, real bad.
She would, I mean, this is horrific, but ever since I was a little girl and we lived in a very haunted house, and I do want to talk about your mediumship awakening too. We lived in a very haunted house. It was funny because like everywhere we moved, my family was always like, wow, this place is really haunted too. And eventually it's like, oh, because there's a child medium in every one of these houses. And we're in the middle of Pennsylvania where like a lot of crazy shit has gone down. But when I was a little girl, we moved into this, all kinds of stuff had happened in this house. And then it wanted to talk all the time. And I was like 4 or 5 and I would see the living room or the kitchen, the floor would open. There would be fiery pits of hell. And there she was grabbing my mom or me or my brother. Never anyone I loved, my dad. I didn't really love my dad. I was not close with my dad. Later, this was something you even saw in the healing. You're like, oh, you're fine about your dad. Like, I haven't talked to him in over 20 years. And I am. I did the thing, you know, where you find like the good, you find like the reasons that you did love the person, you know, so I loved him a little bit. But anyway, this creepy thing, and that helped me heal from my dad. But this creepy thing with the hair from, you know, the ring or whatever, she would always latch onto someone I love, like drag them to hell in front of me while I held onto their hand and like the kitchen counter or whatever. And they would be screaming, you're dragging me to hell. You're dragging me to hell. So intense. When I finally cut her in like a cord cutting ceremony, that's what she screamed. And I've talked about this on the podcast. my breasts lactated for the first and last time ever. While she was screaming. Isn't that fucking bonkers? Yeah. Yeah.
I have full body goosebumps.
like milk pooled in my armpits and yep. I was blind yep. after I yep. came out of it. I could barely see. I was so fucked up over it. And I don't mind, like I feel her with like some of the family I still talk to, I can still feel her coming in. But she's out of me. And that's crazy to grow up seeing that. And then to physically, she could impersonate voices. I found she used to talk through me at night where I was with a partner who would later be very problematic. And the moment I would fall asleep, she would start talking to him as me and saying horrible things to try to drive him away, eventually started to physically attack him, punch him in the balls. Wild. And I got it to stop. Like I'm not sure totally how. I just moved stuff around and I don't know. I think she gave up. But later I realized she was there to protect me. And she really believed, like a fucked up mother. And this was like a fucked up mother daughter relationship. And in the end, like I'm the one lactating when I hear her cries, which was so dark. Her trying to drive him away was eventually this man, this 6'7" man tried to put my head in a toilet after we got married. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're done. So she was right all along. He just said that he had a physical abusive side. She was right, but that's not the, you know, like punching a man in the balls when he's asleep is not the route I would personally take. But she was, like,
such harsh sexual abuse.
Right? Crazy, like crazy stuff. And for you to like actually see her, she was so good at hiding. She was so good, even throwing her voice. Like the other people heard her voice sometimes. Yeah. Like she would convince me that I needed her at the end, and or she would try that. But I was like, get it out. It was fucking bonkers. But also in that healing with you, you saw, and I didn't tell you anything. I mean, I have so many clients who told me to seek you out and to get a healing with you. Like when they heard about what I was going through. Yeah. Which was really great. I mean, super helpful. And I had already done a lot of work on my mother wound because my mom and I only just ended our relationship. I mean, she ended our relationship, which, you know, this is, everybody's got their reasons for things. She is full of regret about it now, but she ended our relationship during the pandemic. And God, what year even was it? Like 2020, I think. And, you know, I still cry. Like when I told my new partner, my boyfriend, when I told him, I didn't want to tell him about it forever because I didn't want a trauma bond, you know? And when I told him all about it, like I'm still crying and I probably will always cry retelling the story. But you saw immediately, you were like, it's not this guy you broke up with. It's not your dad. We got to focus on your mom. And what I really loved about your healing, because you have like little like bits of homework that we do during it, you know, where I have to write out stuff to say to her. And you were so in it with me, Amy, like the sad, hurtful things I was saying were hurting you too. Like you were so empathetic. And I needed that. Like I felt so supported in this. You know, there are a lot of healers who get really fucking smug. You know, like there are a lot of like psychic healers who get really wrapped up in a presentation. And I really felt like we did it via Zoom, like we are right now. I felt like you were in the room with me. I felt like I was being held by you. I mean, you are such a nurturer. You were clearly born to do this. And I know that we talked a little bit about like your path changing and you pivoting, but my God, lady, like I am grateful that you are in this field, that you found your way to it.
Holy crap. First of all, I was in the room with you. Secondly, I genuinely, genuinely care about you. Like I care because when I see in people, good God, you're a wonderful person. I saw everything that you have literally picked yourself up from, like all of these things, like why you're incredible. You are so strong. Like humans, if humans for one second could see inside another human, the way this gift is, everybody would quit picking on each other immediately. Oh. It's just unbelievable. Like, you're so amazing. You're so amazing. And it was an absolute honor to be trusted by you.
Thank you. That's
what I'm here to do, man. And I'm so proud of you because it's hard. It's hard because it's your mom. Your mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the last things I said to her was, it's okay if we can't figure this out. And I said this sincerely and with compassion. I was like, when you die, you'll come to me and we'll get it right then. Cause that's how I did it with her mom. Her mom died and now we're great. But I loathed my grandmother my whole life and now we're totally fine. And I said that to my mom and she was so sad. She wept and she said, I don't want to wait till I'm dead. But we didn't hit it. We didn't hit the mark. And, you know, it's funny because I can rationalize it. And this is like part of the healing too, is like, okay, well, I'll go find community and support for this. And I don't have anything to work with because she pulled the plug. So, you know, when I tell people this all the time, when they're trying to partner, you can't partner with someone who's not willing to work. You both have to, it ends when one of you, just one of you stops working. And every relationship is like that, you know, and this one with my mom, she said no more work. And I said the sad thing about, you know, we'll do it when you're dead. And she wailed, I don't want to wait till I'm dead. But I also don't really think death is real. You know, like the body ends and then, you know, a little bit of ego dies and we're even better. Like I think people are way more pliable in the afterlife, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just in the afterlife, you don't have the sensory system. So like she has this opportunity. There's something to be said to hug your secondary karmas, meaning your mom's secondary karma. There's something to be said to literally tangibly recognize in soul, true recognition, your secondary karma. You are her secondary karma. And there's something to be said to be able to touch that, tangibly touch that, and to not work that out. My heart hurts for her.
My heart hurts too. Yeah, I always just hurt for her. I just send her love. Will you talk a little bit on secondary karma? Will you tell people about that?
Yeah, so first of all, I think that humans are at the point, and this is gonna ruffle some feathers.
Oh, good.
Okay. We are at the point in our expansion that the second you no longer believe in karmas, like, oh, I keep incarnating because the second you understand that you are truly God, when you fully get it, at the snap of a finger, all of your karmas are done. You are done incarnating for karmas. Like I don't believe in karmas anymore. That being said, you absolutely have karmas. Like your primary karma is the fact that you are a woman, or the fact that you're a human. We'll start there. Your primary karma is that you are a human on earth. That is your primary karma. I'm experiencing consciousness as a human. Your secondary karmas, though, are all the things you pull in with it. All the things you put, like you pulled in with it that you are a white chick, right? You pulled in that you are a white chick in the United States. Your mom pulled in you, right? Your mom pulled in, I'm assuming she was a white chick. I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah, white chick.
Right. And she pulled in a white chick, right? She pulled in a daughter. They're your secondary karmas. Your children are your secondary karmas. Whoever you pull in to your perceptive reality and literally into whatever you pull into your consciousness is your secondary karma. That behind that, why you keep incarnating to clear up old wounds or to get a lesson correctly. I absolutely think some people are doing that. Okay. But there is a second in your expansion when you recognize, I'm literally in charge of everything in this moment. And this is none of this is real. And I am God. Everything.
Hell yes, Amy. Hell yes. Oh, right. God, I love that.
Like I will no longer incarnate to learn how to survive not getting divorced. I'm never incarnating, right? I'm never incarnating for the bullshit. Like I don't believe in it anymore. I literally don't believe in it. I literally understand I am a fractal of light. I'm a fractal. Anyway, I digress.
No, I love it. That guy you wouldn't cut the cord on yet, who is a very important friend to me still, met my new boyfriend. All that went really well. Amazing friendship already. He and I, one of our last fights, was him arguing karma with me and me just trying to like, if you want to subscribe to it, if you want, I mean, fine. I prefer your method. I prefer that path.
Yeah. No, you are the only lesson, the only lesson you are here to truly learn. And this is not an idea. You, there is a difference between thinking, oh, I'm God, we're all one, we come from the unified field, and then being like, oh no, fuck, I am literally God projecting into a human. It's done. There's a difference between saying, like, truly believing it.
Yes.
And that's fine. It's fine. Like, we have to hold space for the spectrum. It's like a light, literally a light wave cannot maintain its frequency without other light spectrums. Like, we see color because all of the color exists in it except that color, right? If you think about it, we see white because all of the other colors are there except white.
Yeah.
But if you think of it, so we need all this, we need the whole spectrum, or we wouldn't see what we see. So it's fine. Let the people believe in the karma. Let the people believe in the whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I think that this is, you know, we're all on a different path. And every time I see, because I do a lot of past life stuff, but then I started seeing the next life and the future. And that's where it's gotten real weird, because I'm like, oh, that's why it's fun now. That's why I'm child free and just doing whatever I want. Oh, that's taking on a big contract in the next one. That's great. And that's why I majored in musical theater for a minute and just did all the silly things in this life. Like, it's, you know, we all get choices before we come in. Like, we really get to design our playground each time. And it's hard to say that to people who are still kind of living the sad parts, you know? And I think that there is a time to really wallow and throw yourself around and be, you know, a return to childhood, like throw the tantrum, like whatever you got to do to just feel it. But I have always preferred saying, well, by design, before I got here, I really wanted to learn. I really wanted to be stronger, and I wanted to learn that strength via sexual assault and abuse. Now, that's not for everybody to take on and say that they asked for it. I 100% know I did. I mean, I have learned my best healing lessons from that, and resilience. And I wallowed for a long time first. And I chose some really intricate, fucked up things to pad around that as well, you know? But it serves me in this life to full on believe. And if anybody listening to this is, you know, ruffled by this or triggered, fine. You can believe. That's like the glory of being your own God. You get to create your own little crazy town religion just for you with this life. You know, you can believe otherwise, but I have access to my last lifetime and the things I was sort of obsessed with in that. Now I've gotten to do in this one. And I think that I like having the responsibility, you know, I in the moment, of course, and then in the process of healing, like, of course, it's real messy. And you're mad at people, and you should be, and people shouldn't do that to each other. But here we are kind of stacking all these things in this life just to see. We don't know how we're going to turn out from it. You know, you can go in many different directions. But when I got in touch with like choosing my parents, which I absolutely believe I chose them, and were they good parents? No fucking way. Were they good at creating, getting me closer to who I want to be, especially in the next lifetime? Yeah, they were perfect for how I wanted to be shaped. And I think about things like you know, astrology and the position of the stars when we're born. And I think about the soul contracts we take out and choosing our parents. And I always think about rainbow Play-Doh, which is so funny that you were talking about all the colors being white, and how you put the little cutter on and you push all the colors together and then you press it through and it makes like a beautiful star shape. And it's like, we do have power over how we're cut. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always turn out the way we planned before we got in here. But that's also kind of part of the fun, is taking the reins back. And the wallowing has a purpose, and emoting has a purpose. You know, there's a release there. But my God, I love to sit in my glory. Like, I love to just be like, it didn't fucking kill me. It made me stronger, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My heart goes out, because I have a lot of my clients are in, you know, they're in the moat, they're swimming the moat, and I see it. And it takes great patience to know you're going to be okay when you do not ever think you will be.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We have no patience for ourselves. We want to feel better now. I want to feel better now. We want to feel better now. But the wallowing part, my best advice to anybody who is stuck in the wallowing is to sit in a seat and close your eyes for a moment and start to call in all of your personalities. In the lineage that I study in, my teacher, the last day I was working with him, he's an astrophysicist, explained the structure of the soul and how the soul anchors in the body, where it does, and the role of personalities and how the personalities form the soul and how then the soul moves on to new form. Anyway, we have so many personalities, and it's our job to meet all of them. And it's in their lineage that they believe we have roughly 140 something. And these personalities cycle through the body. And when one becomes a dictator, when one role like holds the rein for too long, the body starts to suffer. Where the personalities are anchored into different organs, those organs start to suffer. But when somebody is wallowing, my best advice is to have a come to Christ, have a come to Buddha meeting, have a come to Goddess meeting, and figure out which personality is reigning, because we have to get movement. We have to get the personalities to start to cycle through again. Like, I can't always be a healer, because there is a hardcore fuck around person in me that just wants to have sixth grade humor. I am a yoga teacher, and people think I'm this wise human. At the same time, that sixth grade fuck around person needs to come out. I like to binge watch Netflix and eat junk food. I can't be this healthy healer all the time. I'm also, you know, a mom. But the mom is not the same as the teacher. So I have so many personality, and none of them can reign dominant, because if they did, the rest of the personalities, that means, first of all, you're stagnant in your being. You're stagnant in your soul. Your soul can never be still, because nothing on planet is still. But when one personality, so the people that are like, I am always the love and lighter, or I'm always the yoga teacher, and I always speak in this yoga prose, or
right? Cannot.
There has to be something in there that is like, you are at war. You are in strong war. Because I can tell you right now, if you don't think the Buddha also was like, I am done being the wise soul right now, I'm going to be, you know, the jovial little, I'm going to throw my food at somebody and just fucking horseplay or whatever. You're out of your mind. Out of your mind. So my advice to people in the wallowing, stuck in the wallowing, have your come to Christ conversation around what personality, and it might be the 9-year-old personality that never had anyone ever come and rescue them and just needed somebody to stand up for them. You know, I don't know if you did. When I was 9 years old, sometimes I would do that whole arm cross, stick my foot out, sit on my hip, like, I'm not doing anything until you apologize to me, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
I feel her. Her personality comes out, right? I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So find your personality and you got to cycle. You got to get the artist back in charge for a day. You got to get you have to get your personality cycling through your meat suit again.
Yes. Yes. Today I said to myself, I had a lot of triggering things happen recently, and my primary person of support is in the middle of Yellowstone with no reception. And for 2 more days. Mm. And today I was so uncomfortable that I couldn't talk to him. I was so upset about it. Mm. I cried yesterday missing him. And I was like, you know what? That's great. Yeah, you know, I was like, happy cried over anybody in a decade. I don't even know.
To like ninth grade.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And it is. It's there's like a teenage very in love. I keep getting, because Romeo and Juliet, I'm like, oh, boring story for most of my life. And the last couple of days, I'm like, oh my God, no wonder they had to kill themselves.
Oh, I love it.
The drama. Yes. And today, I was frustrated because I have so much to do and I'm trying to do it. And all I want to do is sit around and shop for our Halloween costumes that we're going to do together with our pets. And that's all I wanted to do. And I was like, I have this really great guardian who she's so loving, and she really came in hot when I lost my mom, where she will, and this is, you know, it's really hard, I think, too, for a lot of people to feel their guardians. She's not much of a spirit. I don't think she gives me advice. I think she just like hugs me when I need it, but she always calls me baby girl. And I heard her very clearly today. She's like, baby girl, you're allowed to be sad. Thanks for the reminder, because we're hard on ourselves when we have to have those sads to have the happies. Like, it's never just the happies. And I'm also excited because I'm like, ooh, I'm getting so sad. The happies are going to be so much better than usual because the sads are so intense. But yeah, the wallowing, I think we have to have return to wallowing, you know, all the things that I like to believe I'm over. They're little landmines in me. Then they get, somebody steps on them and I'm like, I didn't even know that was still there. And then I'm all inflamed. And I cried at 4 different people yesterday. I read, my friend just moved into the building and we took the dogs to the dog park, and I'm like reading her a poem weeping, and she was crying too. So it was really actually wonderful. But I had to do that. And it's funny because I even said to him one time, I was like, I don't want you to see me ugly cry.
What? I don't want you
to see, right? And then I realized it was power to show him, because I am an ugly crier. And then I felt more loved on the other side of it and safer. Yeah. And it was like, oh, I don't even have to put mascara on in the morning in front of him now. Like, it was, right. It was so freeing. But the healing thing, you said this when we were just talking before we started recording too, which I think is so important, which I got very in touch with when I lost most of my family, is community. And you know, you don't realize that, like, you have family members who are like less connected to you than a soul cluster you're gonna find in friendship. And if you build a quality community, which is not easy to do, like, that's been my keyword for 2023, community. But even if you just get like 3 good members going of a community, you know, and I don't know what the secret is, because it's different for everyone and wherever they live. But I do believe, because I have friendships that die or just kind of fizzle. And as soon as I lovingly release one, a better one that matches whoever I just changed into, because that's the thing too, we're changing all the damn time. Whoever I just evolved into, this new friendship suits her better. And it's not that like I outgrew them. I don't really believe that either, because we're all kind of growing just in different directions, you know? But man, that community, I mean, and I was telling you about Women Talking, this movie I watched on the plane coming back. Yeah. Holy shit, Amy, community, but also women, but also Amish, old fundamental Mormon stuff, like real fucking dark, amazing movie. One best screenplay, which usually they give awards to trash, and thank God they finally gave it to a good one. I was so wrapped by this film, and I watched it. It was the first thing I watched on the plane when I saw it was there. I was like, oh, I've been dying to watch this. When it ended, I almost started watching it again. But I was self-conscious because it is dark. Yeah. I didn't want everybody to see me watching it. Fucked up film twice in a row. But I'll probably watch it again in my home. It was so, I mean, even like, it's funny because I have, you know, I have friends and we call ourselves coven and stuff, you know, even though I usually practice my stuff solitary. It's because I just get really focused on it. I don't know. I have organized rituals in my home and stuff like that now. But I feel, even though I don't see them as much, having that support when I lost my family and I could get on the phone and bawl, I let go of friends at that time because they were not. That's when you see what someone's made of. And yeah. I think it's so important. One of my best friends is dating someone new and she's going through a lot of stuff that she's not telling this person. And I was like, but if you tell them, you can see what they're made of. Like you can see if they are right for you. You can save time. You can like let them show you who they are with this. You know, it's an opportunity. But I get it because I didn't want to ugly cry in front of Merrick. Like, I don't want anybody to see me like that. Because we associate it with weakness when it's part of the process. The tears and the feeling and the revisiting the hurt, you know. And I don't know. I again, with the Play-Doh, but like, it's always taking a different shape. Like, we've always got it in our hot little hands. We're always just rolling it around, seeing what it looks like the next day. I just don't think, I think speed is should not be part of the process. I think that I don't think I realized how much I was hurting and how uncomfortable I was when I was going through the pandemic in Florida until I got back to LA and everybody on the other side of losing my family said to me, I have never seen you calmer. I have never seen you more grounded. Mm. And I was like, I could, you know, you can't see this by yourself. That loss freed me, you know, sometimes what we see as the loss that we want to rush through is really an invitation to a whole new you. And I was straight up suicidal after it happened. Like I had a plan and everything. And on the other side of that, I look at it and I'm like, I don't even know her. Who was that with that elaborate, you can't even do an open casket with what I'm going to do to this body. Like I went full dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know how to talk to somebody like that. And I was living it.
Yeah.
But I think the patience and the slowing it down and finding little joys, you know, I kept going into nature. I kept going on these huge 5-mile walks through concrete and across the water and, you know, on the beach and like coming in the middle of the night because I did have a death wish. So I was like, well, let's go when it's dangerous. You know, let's go when there's no one there.
Goodness, Angela.
I know. Oh, yeah. And it's so funny because anytime like nothing scares me now. I'm like, I'm so divinely protected. Like I can't get myself out of this world, you know, but it was really dark. And I think the best thing I did I also tried to find a therapist and that was bad. Like I had such a hard time getting help. I think I was isolated for a reason. But then I did have friends I talked to in LA. Like I did have people who checked on me remotely and that made such a difference. And it strengthened one of my best friends now, Nadia. We were just casual friends until I was like, here's all this shit.
Yeah.
And she held it so beautifully. And she would say that she would audio clip me when I was dark. And she would say, God, I'm going to cry saying it. She would say, I'm holding baby Angela right now. I'm holding you like a baby. And my God, like I say it to her when she needs it. To have someone love you and say that, it sucks, but we are built to hurt. You know, like we're built to, like, especially women, really hurt.
Yeah.
If somebody is just saying they're going to hold you like a baby, I mean, I can hurt a little longer. You know, like.
Yeah. My team, some of the members of my team, the ones that have been human, when they tell me when I ask them what they miss the most, they were like, I miss the sensations of what it is like to be a human. Cause there's no emotion. There's no like that hurt. You don't have hurt. You don't have taste. That's what they said. They're like, we miss what it feels like to have taste, to taste, that the human body is so divinely designed. That doesn't mean just for pleasure. We are built for pleasure, but we are, there's a fine line. There's a fine line.
Yes. Even like what gives us dopamine? Like, don't we get dopamine from fucked up shit sometimes?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just went and saw a horror movie the other day because by myself. And everyone's like, why are you doing that to your body? You're throwing it out of like a good vibration and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, 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 no. This little meat suit operates in a really interesting way. And I cried at this horror movie. Keep in mind, I'm not picking on it. Is it a good movie? No. The Nun 2. Ready?
Oh my God.
The Nun 2, right? That's how bad it was. Listen, I cried at that movie because the message that I got, I was talking to my team. I'm like, I need this hit from seeing dark entities being embodied in humans, regardless if people believe in that or not. There's a lot of people that don't believe in entity attachments, and that is fine.
Oh, nobody listening to this podcast is going to argue with you on that.
But it feels good to kind of be like, okay, I'm strong. I'm strong. To just see it played out in front of you, even though it's petrifying and scary. And my team is like, are you getting what you need? I'm like, yeah, I actually got everything I need. I'm sitting there crying. Everybody else is afraid. And I'm like, I get the message. I'm like, oh, am I?
Oh my God. I can't help it. And then I think like, do I want this in my head? But I am a hyper vigilant person from my childhood, from what I endured in my childhood. Yeah. And horror movies trigger it. Horror movies are home to me. And they're a safe way to revisit chaos and fear. They just feel
like horror movies.
Yes.
Like The Conjuring, the whole Conjuring line of movies is what is feels safe to me because that's my reality.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I can't handle
those. Yeah.
No torture porn. I'm not into torture porn.
Okay, great. We just need to clarify.
Yeah. That's a good point. I did watch Pearl on the plane too, finally. I haven't watched X. So I watched the prequel before I watched it. But Pearl was that freaking Mia Goth, it has got it. She has got it.
She's never seen it.
Okay, a better one, because I love her as an actress, is what's it called? The Pool, the Inner Pool, not Deadpool, Alexander Oh So Hot Skarsgard, isn't it? And Mia Goth. And it's kind of sci-fi-y, but psychological, and holy crap, very enjoyable.
Okay.
I especially love the psychological horror. I will say I watched Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal back to back by myself recently.
Okay.
We're also going into spooky season. Silence of the Lambs, I found a lot of holes in it.
Okay.
I loved it when I was a kid.
Yes.
So it's not really stand the test of time. Hannibal, so stupid. A funner film than Silence of the Lambs. I could not believe this.
Okay.
But this is horror that's like, and this is a good point too about women talking. When someone's being harmed, you know, I prefer the reference. I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. Don't get anything from that.
Yes.
Women yep. Talking does a beautiful job on that. Clearly a woman production. And I always say, like, anytime a rapist or a murderer could masturbate to this part, that's, they did it wrong. Like, don't make porn for these people. You know, like, there's really good freaking horror out there, though. Oh, shit. I lost my train of thought. Of course. We're really all over the place. I want to talk. Okay. I want to talk to you, though, more about, real quick. I want to talk to you more about, because your process was so interesting. Like, you said something crazy to me, and you said it, and I was like, yep, that's exactly why she's the one working on me. You were like, you're like, I just rebuilt your whole reproductive system. Do you remember this? And that was, that's always where my wound festers, is my mother wound. That was very interesting, because like coming out of that, I have a spiritual experience when I have my period. The first 2 days I bleed, I am high. I'm high. Like I smoked something amazing. And I try to stay by myself. Like, I'll give readings on those days, but I'm just getting so much information when I'm menstruating. And after you rebuilt my reproductive system, it like intensified, and I had really good clarity, especially around those days. So much so that I'm like, I never want to go through menopause. Like, these days are a gift for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was potent stuff. But tell us a little bit about like your process, or because how did you do that, Amy? How did you do that to me?
So I don't, we have to separate the me thing. Take me out of it. Okay. It goes back to that whole, everybody has his own consciousness. Everybody has their own literally frequency. This is the dumbest, most clichéest thing, but hear me out. Like, cancer has its own consciousness. If it was, if when we think of vibration, instead, if we were to give it a color out of the 164 crayon box, we gave it the one color of it. Everything has its own consciousness or a color. When you match somebody's frequency, you have access to them because like becomes like. A simple example of this would be if you ever went to the fair and threw a ping pong ball into those little fish tanks, and they gave you a fish and it came in a plastic bag and took the fish home so you didn't kill the little fair goldfish, you would set that bag in your already fish tank so the water could regulate to match temperature, right? And then when you open the bag, the fish will be fine. But if you dump the fish into a new frequency or a new temperature, it shocks the fish dies. That's what we do. So my session, if you remember, we took a lot of time. I just started to, I called in my team and we called in your team, and I just used that whole empathy thing at first. It's empathy, and then it goes beyond that to regulate, to match you. And then once I match you and I'm the same temperature as your water, basically going back to that goldfish example, I can have access to you, meaning I'm now going to turn me into you. So now I can see inside you because I can see inside me. So now I'm on that same, like, I can find her in this whole planet. Okay. And if you truly believe you are a fractal projection of consciousness in form that has a constant divine through line, meaning if we are watching a film at the drive-in movie theater and the film is being projected onto the screen, it has a constant flow of light onto the thing that it's being projected on. At any point, we can snip out that film, restitch it and project that movie. That is what I am doing. But I'm using your brain, your consciousness, and your permission. Because if you buy into this, I can do it. You just have, I just need a fraction of a second of actual true belief on your end. And that fraction of a second, I can re-download and reprint your entire being. It's just like splicing the film.
It was blowing my mind because you were using such technical language. Like you were so, you had instant clarity. Like as soon as you saw my stuff, I didn't have to tell you anything. You saw all my stuff. And it was funny because I remember I recorded it. I'm sure I still have to. You know what? I need to re-listen to it, honestly. But you were like, you were giving me all these the science talk, and I remember thinking like, holy shit! Like this woman knows things. It's not just it. It was so much more sciencey and grounded than. You know, I always meet people and they're curious and I try to push them. Like I can't even remember who I was talking to just the other day. I was telling someone that they need to talk to you. And they were like, what are her rates? And I was like, oh, she's always booked out, blah, 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 blah. Very hard to get in, you know, and like you usually really are. Yeah. But it was funny because, I was thinking like with you, the first time you worked on me, I thought, wow, all the people who are like, this is woo-woo bullshit would love how much you know. Like you had such, you know, science today verbiage around what you were doing. And even you were explaining something to me about, it was just like sort of like the process of, so I think it was something about like the body holding on to things. Because I feel like we touched on that for a minute too. But I was so instantly impressed and relieved. I could feel so much movement. Right. And then, freaking bedridden for 2 days.
You deserve to be free. There are so many people that are coming into my consciousness right now that does not believe that the body stores an emotion or that the body doesn't store trauma. And, that's totally, totally fine. Cause all opinions matter, right? All opinions matter. My heart hurts for them because the amount of condensation that must be happening in their tissues, there is no space for error. In someone like that, there is no space. There's no grace either, right? There's probably only, and I'm just assuming, rigidity in how they behave, because if they had something occur to them and it hurt and it was painful, they give no grace for having an overreaction or an underreaction to a similar situation in the future. They have no softness. I just, my heart hurts for these people. That being said, one of my teachers said something so interesting and I wanted to share it. When I went to Italy to get cleared from my people, like my healing sessions, they said empaths increase suffering on the planet. I need you to hear what I'm saying. And they're like, empaths increase suffering. And I was like, what the fuck? And they go, if you walk into the room and I have a stomach ache and now you have a stomach ache, you took suffering and you instantaneously doubled it. They're like, do not be an empath. They're like, you are an empath only when you are trying to match the frequency with somebody to heal them. And then you get out. So I have quit. You know how we are what we identify as? I have completely stop labeling myself as an empath.
Me too. My God.
Yeah. I am divinely, I am sacred technology. That's what I am.
Oh my God. Sacred technology is the name of this episode. Amazing. I think that a lot of healers I know, I see them fading. I see them aging. I see them sick. Because of the empath stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because empath was such a buzzword and everybody was like, I'm an empath. Everybody latched onto this for a while and years ago. And I was like, God, why would you want to be that? We are all by design supposed to be that.
But absolutely.
To take it on when I have a few clients and it is really hard to get clear of their energy because it's usually the anxiety that gets me. It's usually like the very high nervous because that's what I'm prone to, not depression. I'm more prone to anxiety. And I feel like I got electrocuted with it. And then I got to like really work to get rid of it. Yeah. And I mean, I can feel it's going to make me sick. Like I'll get like stomach aches and things like that from it. But I do not, it's so funny. Cause like, I believe in healing people. I believe in pointing them out to the right path. Mm-hmm. I am a total chicken shit. Like I learned Reiki. I don't want to do that on anybody. I'm like, this will fuck me up. I am not doing Reiki on people. It is hard to be a healthy healer.
Yeah, absolutely. When I went to Dom and Hearn, I had my teachers heal me the day of my healing session. I lost 6 pounds. The next day I lost another six. I've lost, they literally pull all of the weight, literally all of consciousness has weight. Remember, you know, when you die, you lose what, 21 grams? Uh-huh. Consciousness has weight. So every time you work with somebody, you take on, well, if my teachers were explaining, I take on 21 grams from people. If you match someone's soul frequency, right? You take on 21 grams. So yeah, I've lost 15 pounds. Just when I work on people in hands on here in Florida, that's what people come back. They're like, we lost 5 pounds. We lost 5 pounds in a day after working with you. I'm like, yes, that is that clear. Literally, we're clearing you.
Amy, I'm flying to Florida next week. Now I am. That oh my God.
The reason this to work with me.
Sense, this makes sense. Well, and also, I get bloated very easily from things. This is also just being a fucking vegan, honestly. But like, I bloat very easily. I bloat from stress. Yeah. I bloat from everything. And it's so funny because I will carry weight in my thighs. That's always where it goes. Yeah. And all the women in my family do too. And my whole life, I've been like, that's not real. We can put that down anytime. Yeah. But I still haven't figured it out unless I'm like running 6 miles a day. So I need hands on just on the thighs. You could just, I'm half kidding, but I'm mostly totally serious.
Yeah, I know you're dead serious. I was going to tell you something. They came in and gave me a message. They want you to help with your anxiety. They want you to look at the rooms of your house as your, different, organs. Like, you know, your kitchen may be your heart or whatever, and your bathroom may be your gut or your second or third energy center, and your bedroom may be your, you know, your vagina or whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, you're gonna figure it out.
Okay. So, your home, you do not live inside your body. You do, but you don't. And sometimes when there's no space in your body, they want you to identify the room in which your house, where you are feeling the sensation in your body, and completely rearrange that room to help create space in your body so you can process that anxiety out faster.
Wow.
They're very specific on this. Don't just automatically be like, with you sitting here being like, okay, I automatically know my living room is my mind chakra or my ajna or whatever. I want you to walk in your room and get quiet with your eyes closed. And I want you to feel where you feel the room in your body, not where you mentally are assigning, like, oh, I have sex in my bedroom, so that must be my first and second energy. I want you to like walk into the room and be like, okay, where am I literally fucking feeling this in my body? And that your body's going to tell you what room in the house is associated with your body.
Oh, I love this. I will. I'm currently, I have to show you, I've renovated this artist loft. Can you see that?
Oh,
There's
that's
like
beautiful.
pink disco ball. Yeah. And it's really fun. I mean, it's broken up enough, but the bathroom.
Yes, you will have corners. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a space.
No, but I know what you mean. I mean, it is for sure. Like I have spots that I've assigned that I sit in, or even like where I created like a heart, like the table I'm working at, the table I give readings at. And it's also my seance table, but like I created a heart of the home, and it is this like crazy chandelier, this crazy clawfoot table. But yeah, I didn't build out the rest. Like this is the heart.
They're funny. They're like, she calls it the heart, but it's actually the lungs. It's the part of her
house. Oh my God. I like that.
That's funny. But they're like, that's the part that is breathing in her house.
Oh, I love that. It does. It's like, it's like the life. It's the life of the place of the table. Yeah. But yeah, bedroom, definitely vagina. Cause I always give it to Aphrodite and then
have, there you go.
I don't have bad sex since I started doing that. That's a hot tip. No, this is so good. Thank you. And you know what's funny? I wanted to tell you, I don't want to interrupt you, but I saw an orb both times you said grace when you were talking about people living with rigidity and not having grace. So that was a big one. And then when you started saying that about the rooms of the house, I was like, okay, whatever. And I saw the orb again. I was like, okay, I'll listen better.
I have so many things. My team is amazing.
You do have a good team. Seriously.
They're so great.
And you started to see dead people in 2019, you said?
So no, when I was a kid, I was seeing them, but nobody believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because who cares?
I know, so they feel safer. Closing. A lot of people keep their third eye closed because they don't want to see dead people. I get it. It's horrifying.
Yeah. And I grew up, you know, in Amish neck of the woods of central Pennsylvania. And so it was a real big hardcore Christian town. There is a thin line between Christianity and then paganism.
Oh,
and the pagans, like nobody in my family were pagans. However, the dead people around me were. And so okay. Right. So I became an addict really young because I didn't know how to, first of all, I was petrified to be alone. So I always slept on my parents' floor or I wouldn't sleep.
When I was a kid, I did that. They would kick me out of the room.
Yeah.
I would sleep at the foot of their bed. I would sleep with my brother. I couldn't be alone either for the same reason.
It was brutal. It was brutal. And to not be believed, just, I became an addict at like 8, 10, had to go to rehab a couple times. Once I went to rehab, I started to have this spiritual awakening in yoga or whatever. But it came back on very quickly around my best friend got very sick. And before she decided she was transitioning out, a few days beforehand, I was in my kitchen, I was cooking, and my spice drawer was behind me. And I was on the stove and I recognized I needed spice. So when I turned around to go get the spice out of the drawer, she was in full form in my kitchen. And I just turned around back to the stove. I was like, oh, I'm fucking losing it. That being said, before this moment, 2 days before this day, I just finished teaching a yoga class and she called me and she said, Amy, I died. I have to tell you what happens when you die. She's like, and she gave me all of this information. And part of me was like, oh shit, she's really losing it. She had advanced chronic degradating Lyme. She had mold in her bones. Her bones were rotting. Like she had advanced degradating Lyme. It was unbelievable.
Oh,
and she's
God.
Like, I died. But she told me how the souls are coming in and out of the bodies. And she told me so much stuff that I've never heard before that I was like, shit, she's losing it. And B, I was, I couldn't hear my team. I was not talking to team. I wasn't talking to anybody. My body was like, pay attention. 2 days later, she shows up in my kitchen, and instead of calling her, I just sent her a text because I was making dinner for my kid, but she was in full form. And then a few days later, she decided to take her divine exit. But I should have known that day when she called and told me what happens when the soul leaves the body, that there was nothing anybody could do to keep her here, that she took those next few days to clean up some financial stuff, and she cleaned up. She was in complete bliss. And people argue, oh, when people that are chronically depressed, when they have a final plan, usually will get blissful. No, no, no. This was different. This was a wisdom that came with her. There was a wisdom, and I do not promote suicide at all, but there was a wisdom. I truly believe she died. I truly believe she, saw exactly what happens. I truly believe she was given untapped God wisdom. And then she decided to take her next actions. I don't want to get too much into that because I'm not glorifying this at all. That being said, the morning her husband called to tell me, I saw his name. And when I hit the answer button, she showed right up again. And she just bopped me in the forehead. She like just bopped me. She's like, it's time. And as soon as she bopped me, I saw what she did. I saw what happened. She's downloaded all of this information. And I listened to her husband. Her husband was, all he said was, she transitioned out in different words. And he's like, I need you to tell everybody. And then I'll meet you. Just call me late. I cannot do anything and whatever. So she just started communicating with me from then on. And then shortly after that moment I definitely went into shock. I went into shock, went into guilt about not intervening. I went into all the emotion. I went into all the remorse, all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the abandonment, all of the human stuff. And simultaneously, all of this wisdom she put in my head, this is when my healing stuff started. She blew my head open.
This was 2019?
This was 2019.
Damn.
And so I was having a complete spiritual awakening and a complete nervous breakdown simultaneously. And I have never been the same since. That being said, the dead people started showing up. And then the entities started showing up. And the first entity I ever saw was in a gentleman I was doing a one-on-one teacher training with, because he wanted to be a yoga teacher. And we were sitting there and I was staring at him. And as we were doing this meditation or whatever, and then we were talking about the meditation, this thing came off of his face. So now all of a sudden he had four eyes and it would go back in his face, and it came off his face, and then it came off his body, and it went into the wall that was connected to the basement where my kid was playing on his video games. And I saw this thing leave him and go into the wall. And my immediate response, I looked at him, I was like, get the fuck out of my house. Like, immediately threw him out of my house. But then I slammed the door shut to the basement, trying to protect my kid, thinking like, okay, this entity thing just went into the wall. How's I going to fucking protect my kid to close a door? I didn't know where it went. So I shut the door trying to protect my kid. I kicked the person out of my house. Nobody knew what was happening. And then I called my kid up and I was like, you have to stay by my side for the rest of the night. There's something in the house. But it wasn't a human. It was something I've never seen before. And then after that day, they just kept coming. And then I could just see them on people. And then I could just see dead. I could hear dead people. And it started at night. Actually started everywhere.
What did that thing look like when it came out of them?
It looked like burnt. Like it looked like a completely singed being that if think dandruff that has been spray painted on somebody that you could flake off, it looked like burnt. And when it popped off of him, it was a dark purple, violet looking color. And the eyes were his eyes. So when it would come out of him, you could see through it. It's almost like somebody put down like a thin veil, like a Joanne fabric, a fabric. And then it would go back in and then it pop off. And then it literally came off of his face and went into the wall. Like, I'm losing it. But I believed it. I believed it because it was messing with me. It never hurt me. It never hurt my kid. I never saw it again. But it was the first time I ever saw anything come out of a human. And it was almost a blessing because it wasn't dangerously scary. It was just like, okay, here we go. We are now doing this. We're now seeing this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a subhuman. But that's strange because I don't know that they attach it. I mean, who knows what that is? I've seen so many things like this and heard so many stories where they go into the wall because so many of them are sensitive to the light.
Oh.
And a lot of them just like go. I mean, the one I had just wanted to go back into the earth. I trapped it in the wall, but it was just like a black figure. It bit my ex though. It left a huge bite mark in his hip. It tried to hurt my dog. It was aggressive. But I've only seen like bugs, like giant weird bugs attached to people. That purple and weird flaky, that I don't know. That's so creepy.
Creepy.
I mean, did you do any protection or anything, or it just went away?
So it went into the wall, and then at that point was hearing my team, and all they tell me, they're like, get big, get bigger, get bigger. And so they taught me how to get outside of my body. So I could sit here and I can literally feel the texture of the walls. Like I got to plug my computer in. If I move my arms, I can feel the textures of the walls, like rubbing against my skin.
Ooh.
Like, get big. They're like, get big, get big, get big, get bigger, get bigger. And so I taught myself how to get huge and scary looking. So
yeah,
if that looks scary, I'm going to match it, but then I'm going to match it in size and up level it. Yep. That's just all what it is. So I just get huge.
Like, oh, scare so easily. Well, and this is, I consider this child abuse, right? Like, I consider not nurturing mediums as children. I consider it child abuse. I consider what happened to me and nobody believing, nobody making me feel safe in that. That is a form of child abuse, I think, you know? But yeah, it's wild because to go through your whole childhood scared of it and then to step into it and start to see and feel these things more clearly and realize, like, I have a little flitter who comes through here, and the first night that she showed up, I scared her. She scared my dog. She came at the bed, and then it's funny because I never really thought about that, the go big, but it's also like how you scare off a rapist, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it is just puff up and go bright. But mm-hmm. now on the other side of it, I mean, it happened one night when my boyfriend was here and I was like, oh, sorry, she's a voyeur, you know, like she's just a voyeur. But he was terrified and I was like, ooh, fun, a ghost is in the room and now he's gonna think I'm cool. But now it's like, now that we've learned how to kind of step into, you know, what we are, we're humans and we do have these desirable bodies. I don't mean sexually desirable, but like everybody wants a body, you know, everybody wants this. It's so fun to have. It's what you were saying, so the members of your team who were human say. Yeah. That's like the part that gives us power when we're scared, you know, whether it's an entity or worst case scenario or breakup or anything. Like, we got bodies. Like, we're not in the line to come back in, you know, but it's just, it's hard because when we're sad and heavy and everything, it's hard to see it as a gift.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
When you look, even that progress, you know, to go from the kid sleeping on your parents' floor to like really standing in power enough to, I mean, you saw the thing that no one saw with me. Like, I saw her. That was it. And you saw her, and you weren't afraid. Like, it is a scary, creepy thing, but you knew how to handle it. You know, I just feel like it's funny because I know a lot of people.
Training, by the way. I don't know if it takes training for you, but it takes training.
Yes.
I still have probably 3 seconds where I'm absolutely, it could be longer. I'm absolutely terrified. So
yeah,
when I
too.
Saw her, I was like, and then I just trained, get big, immediately get big, go after her.
Uh-huh. Oh, I scream at that. I puff up and I'm like, get the fuck out of my house. I go full. I don't even know who that is who's talking through me, but they usually, I've never had one not get scared, you know, like they scare.
But I've had a couple not get scared. I've had some spooky ones.
I mean, I had a thing let's talk about this one's really bad. It was this really dark story. It happened to me in Pittsburgh. You know, I'm sure it's so haunted, that city. But I did have a horrible thing happen there where I had to move out because it physically hurt me real bad. But let's talk in Patreon about these secret things, because I feel like I already revealed a lot of crazy stuff for free on this episode, and you have too. Anybody who wants to get weirder, become a patron, and we're going to tell our scarier stories. Amy, tell people how to find you and book you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at alaughingspice12.0. And then my website is Virashanti, VIRASHANTI, Virashanti.com.
Yeah. And you should all rush to book her. She does book out really far in advance. And I needed you so badly, and we'd never worked together. And I was hitting you up on Instagram, and I was like, do you have any cancellations? And you were like, I'll probably get one. I was like, please, please, please get one. And then it was like the very next day you miraculously had one.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm
booked out right now. That being said, for whenever this comes out publicly, I am trying to move. So people are going to be, I have Saturday appointments. I mean, people just be flexible. If you book me, we may have to move times around.
Yeah. Just because it's totally worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, yeah, show grace, you guys, because the orbs are really fixated on that word today. I love that. I don't know what it means yet. I'm sure I'll get more information on it later. I appreciate you so much, so very much.
I appreciate you so much.
I can't wait to fly to Florida for my psychic lipo.
No, you are not allowed to come. I'm going to. No.
I seriously cannot recommend your services enough. It is really, I'm so grateful for the work you do.
I'm glad
that you're going to where you're called.
Thank you. You're so kind. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Aww.
Amy, you're wonderful. You guys become a patron. Book us. Book, I don't know. The products, I don't have any to sell right now. I don't know. I'm just starting to podcast again. I don't remember how to do it. But thank you for listening. And believing and seeking, and keep living a life that's worth burning for.